and his strength is usually imparted to those of us who wait upon him, who have learned to get quiet in his presence, to get still. Remember, the Bible says that he dwells in the secret of the Most High. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The secret of the Most High. There is a secret place where we can find God. And that place for us is not far from us. We often think of God being in heaven, but rarely do we think or realize that he is right here. He's with us. He's within us. Christ in you, not outside of you. Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yes, God.
And the reason that we need to spend time in his presence in quietness is so that he can make himself more real in our soul, in our hearts, not just in our head. Many people, they know Christ. They know the Bible. But it's not enough to know the Bible and to know Christ intellectually, just in the head, but in our hearts, in our day-to-day life. We can experience him because he lives within us, because he's real. And he's precious. Now, I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit tonight. I'm still on John chapter 14, where I have read to you that passage that Jesus said that I will pray the Father. And let me read it again for you tonight, and then Pentecost. I'm still on the subject of the purposes of Pentecost. And the passage that I'm going to read is Jesus talking about Pentecost or the purpose of Pentecost. And I'm going to read this passage to you first. And then we will see our Lord will explain in plain language, hopefully, and in my English as a second language. My first language, of course, is Chinese Mandarin. But with the Lord's help, I'm going to try to explain what I have learned about this particular passage, and I will begin with the verse of 16, chapter 14 in the Gospel of John, and I'm going to read from the New King James Version, which is slightly different from the NIV. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be abide with you forever. Now, in the NIV, this New International Version, and it translated it as, I will ask the Father, the Father will give you another counselor. I think the most recent version of NIV, they had changed the word from counselor to advocate. And here in the New King James Version, it's translated as helper. And in the Old King James Version, it's translated as comforter. Now, this word in the Greek, paraklet or parakletos, it means a number of things. A helper, a counselor, a comforter, encourager, strengthener, and it's been translated variously in the English versions of the Bible because it means all of those things. What it means is that when the Holy Spirit comes, or maybe I can put it this way better. Here Jesus is talking about what Pentecost is and what Pentecost means to us. Pentecost means the risen Savior coming to us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Not just to be with us, but to dwell within us, to live within us. And this is what Pentecost is all about. To put it simply, in other words, Pentecost means Jesus now with us in the Holy Spirit. When I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about Jesus Christ in another person, or in another helper, or in the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, whenever we think of Jesus today in the New Testament, okay, we should not think of Jesus as when he was in the flesh, as we read in the Gospels, or even in the Gospels, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we're told that he has appeared to his disciples in different forms. Remember the first person that Jesus appeared to after his resurrection was Mary Magdalene. And when the Lord appeared to her, she didn't recognize him. She thought he was a gardener. Because after Jesus rose from the dead, he was no longer in the flesh. So when he comes to us, he comes to us in different forms. And that's why Mary Magdalene didn't recognize him. And she thought he was a gardener. Until the Lord called her name, made her to recognize the voice. Then she knew the Lord. Maybe she wanted to embrace the Lord, and the Lord said, no, don't touch me yet. I'm not up to the heaven yet. You go and tell my disciples. And she went, and she told the disciples, and as you read in the Gospel, the last chapter, especially in the Mark, the Gospel of Mark, and when Mary went to tell them that Jesus had been raised from the dead, and were told that they didn't believe. If you read in chapter 16, the Gospel of Mark, and then specifically Mark mentioned the two disciples who were on the road to a country that's called Emmaus, and then Jesus appeared to them. They didn't recognize him either. Even though Jesus walked with them and talked with them and explained to them the scripture to them, and they had no idea it was Jesus. Because Mark tells us that, as we read, Mark tells us that he appeared to them in another form. Mm-hmm. another form, he had appeared to his disciples at one time, 500 of them, Paul tells us. And finally, he appeared to Paul. Now, in what form did Jesus appear to Paul? In what form? Thank you. It was a tremendous light. And he was on the road to Damascus. And this light is brighter than the sun. Just suddenly shone upon him. And then he fell down. Who are you, Lord? And he asked. And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. You see? So, the reason that this word, helper, or this Greek word, paraclete, is various translated, so that we might know that the Lord has been raised from the dead, and he was no longer in the flesh. Now he's in the Holy Spirit, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit. Now, who is the Holy Spirit? Of course, the Spirit is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. It's the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And why the Lord used this word, paraclete, to introduce the coming of the resurrected, risen Savior is because he's going to appear to us in this different way. He's our helper. It's obvious, very clear that he has come to dwell within us so that he can be our helper when we need help.
Amen.
How often we need help. I know that in my preaching, I need his help. Without his help, I can't preach. And the word is translated as comforter. Now the Holy Spirit has come to us, to dwell within us, so that when we are in pain, in sorrow, we can experience the comfort of God. The Holy Spirit has come to comfort us. Now the word is translated as counselor is because when we are lost, not knowing which direction to turn to, and we come and we pray. And the Holy Spirit will show us. In chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus said specifically into order. And the Apostle John tells us that this anointing which you have received from the Lord teaches you in all things. And Jesus said the same thing in the chapter 16, John, or 14, when he talks about the coming of the Holy Spirit, he said, he will teach you in all things. He will remind you of the things that I have spoken to you. And the word is translated as strengthener. And it's not hard to understand that when we are weak, he's our strength. His strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. Sometimes the Lord will allow us to fail or even to sin because of our weakness in certain areas. He will allow us to do that so that we will realize that we can do nothing without him or apart from him. So that he can be our strength. So that we may learn to trust in him, to depend on him, so that he may become our strength. We can never live a holy life, a true Christian life, But now, the strength of God. And I started out by saying that in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. This is not an abstract thing, but God shall be our strength. And God has been referred to by the prophet Samuel as the strength of Israel. For God himself told Samuel. And the apostle Paul, he felt there was a period of time in history that he had to struggle. He found out that there is something which he called the law of sin that dwelt in him. And that when he wanted to do good, he couldn't. He couldn't do the good that he wanted to, and yet he did the bad things that he didn't want to. Then he realized that there is this law of sin in his body. And oh, he said, oh, what a wretched man I am. Who can deliver me from this body of death? You know, he had his struggle. We all had our struggle. But we all can have victories when we realize that who is in us. When we believe that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And the Holy Spirit has come to dwell within us, or as John put it in another way, this is how we know that God dwells within us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit. He has given us his Spirit to us. Therefore, we know that God dwells within us and that we in him. Because he has given us the Holy Spirit, given us, those of us who have received him, that we know that Christ lives in me. That Christ will comfort the sin, will comfort the world, will comfort the flesh, all the weaks in the flesh, that Christ, the same Christ, the Christ who finally conquered death, he rose from the dead. And the same Christ is dwelling within you and within me by the Holy Spirit. And that is what Pentecost is all about. After all his troubles, and finally the Apostle Paul was able to say, thank God that I be delivered through Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say, in chapter 8, Romans says, through the law of the Spirit of life, I be delivered, I be set free, I conquer sin. I no longer live in my own flesh. And thereafter he was able, and he started saying, you know, I'm crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in with me. Christ lives within me. And then as he grew deeper and more fully into the fullness of God, then he was able to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, through Christ who dwells in me and strengthens me. That's why he was praying for the church, especially when we read in the book of Ephesians, where he prayed in chapter 3, verse 15, and he prayed that I pray God, according to his riches in glory, that he might grant you to be strengthened through power, with power through the Holy Spirit. I'm quoting from the New King James Version. That you might be strengthened in your inner man. Because he knows that when our inner man is strengthened, and our outer man is automatically strengthened. Our outer man cannot be strong unless our inner man is strengthened. And our inner man is strengthened with the power of the Holy Spirit, or the indwelling Spirit. This is Pentecost. And we're supposed to live out the meaning of Pentecost. And how God strengthens us. And it's a continuous work. Just as we needed to be strengthened every day with food, with rest, and we don't get enough rest, if we don't eat enough nutritious food, we will not be strong. But in likewise, we need to be strengthened continuously by God with His Holy Spirit, or the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. That's why the Apostle Paul teaches in chapter 5, the book of Ephesians, he teaches that do not be drunk with wine or liquor, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now the word there, filled, in Ephesians chapter 5 is different from the word filled we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. It says, on the day of Pentecost, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And now in chapter 5, Ephesians, Paul used the word filled, and I looked up in the original word, and the phrase is different. In Ephesians 5, the word filled means stay filled, being filled constantly, or being filled more greatly. It has the connotation of being controlled and directed by the Holy Spirit. Now again, I have to say that when I use the word Holy Spirit, and I'm talking about the risen Christ, who is in heaven today, but also dwells within our hearts by His Holy Spirit. So when we think of Jesus today, we can think of it as our helper, our counselor, our comforter, or the one who strengthens us, the one who leads us, who guides us, and the one who builds up our, who changes our life, the one who works constantly in our lives so that we might be changed into His image. That's what Pentecost is all about. Oh, how we thank God for Pentecost. And the passage that I read with you today really, Jesus is talking about Pentecost. He's talking about not just what Pentecost is, but what Pentecost means to you and to me. I'm so grateful, not just because He has done so much for me and my family. We've raised 7 kids, 2 boys, 5 girls, and we've gone through trials, difficulties, needs, and oh God, it does so much. You know, there's one of my favorite songs is that I will never cease to praise Him because He does so much for me. I never will cease to praise Him, my Savior. My Savior, I never will cease to praise Him or thank Him, for He has done so much for me. But I'm grateful especially for this wonderful, precious, and intimate relationship that I have developed with Him over the years. Did you know that you and I can become intimate friends with you. But we need to know him in different ways or different forms, because it comes to us no longer in the form of flesh, the physical form, but it comes to us in spiritual ways, spiritual blessings. When we become discouraged, we come to him and encourage. Sometimes we're encouraged by the testimonies of others, or by reading the Word, or simply by spending half an hour in prayer, and we feel encouraged. And we're lifted up. This is how he's come to us. And this is the way, or these are the ways we need to know him. To know him and the power of his resurrection. Not that he's been raised, and that you and I can appropriate by faith the power of his resurrection. The power to overcome all weakness. The power to overcome our temper. The power to overcome temptations. The power to overcome sin. The power to be patient. To love the people that are difficult to love. And you run into the people who are difficult to love. I'm sure you have. I have. As a pastor of many years, I've run so many of them. The power of God, the splendor of Christ, how we need grace all the time, that God will strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in our hearts through our faith. Before I come this afternoon, about the disciples and how difficult, what disbelief they had when the Lord appeared to those who went to tell them about that he has risen, and yet they could not believe. And I think of many Christians, unfortunately, there are many Christians who have not come to a point where they can truly believe that Christ lives in their hearts, that Christ walked with them, talked with them, directed with them, helped with them, saved them, delivered them from bondage, from a situation that they could not overcome by themselves. And how often Jesus had to tell the disciples, "Ye men of little faith, where is your faith?" We need the faith not just for, you know, prayers to be answered or healing. We need the faith, especially, to believe that Christ lives within me. As the word says, he's not far from you. The word is not far from you, Romans 9:10 or 10:9 says. It's in your mouth, it's in your heart. Christ in you. Christ in you. And I hope as we leave this place tonight, and this place will grow within you. Oh yes, he lives in me. Yes. I realize, I'm becoming a little bit, he lives within me. Oh, put our face to practice. And as we are sitting here tonight, the first half hour with the music, or in quietness, and we have to believe God is here. We have come in his presence. Now, when you read your Bible, when you spend your time in devotion at home, you've got to believe that God is there with you. Amen? because his word says so clear that if we draw near to thee and God, if we draw near to God, God will draw near to you. You have, whenever you sit down, open your Bible, and you begin to pray, and you have to believe the answer that you get. And what did he say in Hebrew 13? I will never leave you, nor forsake you. I will always be with you. Now, I didn't get to finish reading that passage, you know, and actually that 16th verse, the second half of it, is that this helper who is the Spirit, this helper who will come so that he may abide with you forever. Forever. Not just for now, when we are in the meeting, in his presence. As we leave this place, he is still with us. Even when we go to bed, even when we fall asleep, he's still with us. Hallelujah. We need that kind of faith so that we'll never be afraid again. No matter what danger situation we're in, or even when we're near death, everybody has to face this one day. But it's the only way we know that God is with us. We will not fear. We will not fear death or any kind of danger. So, my dear friends, believe that all could. That Christ is well in you, in your heart, as we do. Amen? Amen. Oh, how we do good. And I have a lot to say when I talk about Jesus or the Holy Spirit, because I've known him for exactly 50 years now, ever since Pentecost came into my heart. Prior to that, I had been a Christian for 17 years, but I was getting nowhere. I was involved with a church that was growing. You know, I participated in every activity, every program the church had, including Bible study or training to preach. But you know, I was getting nowhere until Pentecost came to my heart. Until I know Jesus, the risen Savior in the person of the Holy Spirit. Oh, how often I thank the Lord for the Holy Ghost. My ministry, my life, my family system, my relationship, they've all changed because of Pentecost. All this call may bring this draw closer to the meaning. Let us pray. Simple faith. Remember the Bible said, more than one, the just shall live by faith. And in the Chinese translation, it said, the just must live by faith. You must believe. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 11 verse 6 says about that anyone who comes to God must believe that God is there. Or God is the person.
Yes.
In other words, he is all that we need. All we need so much. The Holy Spirit. So let talk about Jesus, Holy Spirit. We talk about the same God, all the Father, the Son, same God. Don't ever separate between one God, one in truth. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, to end my talk, I brought a song tonight that I would like to sing to you, even though I'm not a good singer, but I just love this song because it means so much to me. All right. fellow first Methodist. I knew you used to sit up there. Now this song is entitled Jesus for Me. Jesus for Me. Jesus as a comforter, as a helper, as a counselor, as a strengthener, as an advocate. Advocate with all those for speaks for us, who pleads for our cause, to protect. And this is what Jesus means to be in the Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to see it, and then we'll close with a prayer. Because my Savior is all things to me. Oh, what a wonderful Savior is He. Guiding, protecting, ruling sea. Mighty deliverer for me. Jesus for me. Jesus for me. All the time, everywhere. Jesus for me.